Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for nice kirtan. Because walking from where I came, my brain was filled with volleyball going from one side to another. So making that shift is a little difficult. So 2 minutes ago something and now something else. So we'll see how it goes. So those who are sitting way back, pull your chair forward. Come closer. And this will be a session where all of you will be doing the talking as well. Yeah, very nice. The advantage, Radha Vallabha knows, the advantage is that I talk less and punish you less. So. But you punish each other, so think of it. So, my topic for the next hour and 15 minutes is saying yes, but to Krishna. Is every one of you warm or is it only me? It's warm, isn't it? Can we have some fans turned on? Okay. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. When I use the phrase saying yes but to Krishna, without me explaining anything, if you can do it by show of hands, what do you think it means to you? Some hands, please. Come on, ladies, don't be shy. I know you need the time to warm up, but conditional acceptance. What does that mean?
I accept, but...
Okay.
But there is no full commitment or full surrender.
I accept, but there is not full commitment or surrender. Okay. I need one volunteer to move around with the mic if anyone's happy to do that. Oh, thank you. Okay, anyone else? Shravan.
I guess I have said million times no to Krishna, so I have to keep saying million times yes, yes, yes to Krishna.
Okay. That's what yes but means to you? Okay. Shri Shri Radha Damodar Lalita Vishakha Devi Gornitai Ki Jai. Okay, someone else? Here, Maya. Jyotirmayi Dasi. Sorry. I just... I lovingly call her, our spiritual master, I tell her, gave her the name Jyotir Maya. So I tease her that way. Sorry, it came out.
Saying yes, but according to my wish.
Saying yes, but according to my wish. Okay. Anyone else? Mahati?
What I understood is saying yes to anything but to Krishna.
It is everything but my pro topic. Okay, on this side, Prabhu on the chair.
So saying yes but to me means like I want to complete all the other responsibilities in the material life. before I say yes to Krishna, meaning I have a family, I have something, some family responsibility.
Okay. One on the ladies' side, one more. Yes, Mataji.
Saying yes, but material circumstances. Material circumstances.
What about them? They don't let you say yes.
Not right. Cooperative.
We want to say yes, but the circumstances don't allow us to say yes. Okay. One final from the Prabhu's side. Yeah. Kirti. Or Sudhir.
Prabhu, it's one way of maybe refusing or another way of saying no as well, so in some instances.
You're asking me?
No, I was saying it's one way of...
Yes, but I'm not sure if that's the answer. Okay, one final. Kirti.
Prabhu, I understood this as we say yes to so many things, but I guess as you're encouraging us to say yes to Krishna.
No, I didn't even say anything yet.
That's the topic.
Topic is saying yes but to Krishna. So I'm encouraging you to say yes but to Krishna. Sorry, but shifting gears is a little difficult for me. All right. Perhaps many of you know this little exercise. If not, this is a good one. If you are ever in a situation. So before I give you the exercise, I would like you to write down a particular difficult situation or a particular difficult person you are now, I guess, encountering. And in this situation, saying yes to Krishna is difficult for you. Is there any situation like that? If not, just make it up, right? Because none of you has such problem. I understand. I repeat the exercise. Can you think of a difficult situation or a difficult person you're encountering? And it is somehow difficult, you feel, say, yes, your understanding of, in that circumstance, to say yes to Krishna, whatever that is. Is there a situation like that, or a person like that? Married people, ample examples, no problem. You don't even have to try, you just have to think, someone's finally asking. So, we'll get to hear all those husband-wife stories now. A difficult situation, either at work, at home, somewhere, or physical, what temple? Temples or Vaikunthas? No problems in temples. Only imagination. Oh, Chicago temple problem is not there right now, because I'm here. Okay. Can you think of it? Ideally, I would have liked to do it as group, but I have 1 hour and 15 minutes, so I just thought we'll do it this way. Okay, clear? You have it? Okay, yes? You want to write more than one? Please, go ahead. Yeah, Mataji, go ahead. All right, so here's a little exercise or tool. I'm sure some of you already know this. If you know this, great. If you don't know it, it's called Socratic questioning. Do you know what it is? Any of you heard about it? Socratic questioning is whatever the situation you're in, you ask why 3 times. Sometimes it's up to 5, but you ask why 3 times. Okay? For example, I have difficulty at workplace. I was going to say with my wife, but I have no difficulty, so it'll be very imaginary, right? So I have difficulty at workplace. I'm having difficulty dealing with my boss. And that's bothering me. So the first level of questioning is, why is it bothering me? Oh, because this guy is a nut. He just doesn't understand me. Okay? How much ever I do, he just doesn't acknowledge what I do. So the next level is, why is that bothering me? because I work very hard, I travel so much, I've been whatever. Then, so if that is the case, why is that important for you, that the acknowledgement should come? So it needs a little reflection inside, but please try to do this exercise. Ask yourself, you can even do it in pairs if you like. Sometimes it's easier if someone else is asking the why question. Up to three or up to five times you ask why, you'll find some really interesting insights. From the first time you say why or answer the why to the third or the fourth time you answer why. Okay? Why don't we try? Get into pairs and quickly do this exercise. Take about a minute or minute and a half. You are asking why to the other person, and after a minute and a half, the other person asks you all the whys. Okay? So whatever is your situation, if it's too personal, you don't have to reveal, you know, the gory things if you don't want to. If you want to feel cathartic, go right ahead. Is the exercise clear? You're doing Socratic questioning and you're asking, mother and daughter not allowed to do together, someone else. Okay, time for the other person to ask the why questions. Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Wow. Hare Bol. Okay, very good. Thank you. I have a few observations before I ask your observations, right? I said, please talk about your problems or difficulties. Most of the people were laughing and smiling. So that's a very interesting observation. No one was serious, or I don't know. And the second observation is, we like to talk about our problems so much. You found one captive audience and just went on and on. Okay. I'd like to hear some observations or things that came up from your exercise of asking Socratic questioning. Anything you'd like to share? What came out?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So what I noticed is many of the problems or the reason why they don't say yes to Krishna, they know it. They know why they are not saying yes to Krishna.
Mm.
It's just that the internal... what I observed is our internal purification does not is not enough to accept that, you know, we can say yes to Krishna, but we are not saying yes.
If I understood you right, I understand that I am saying no. I'm conscious of it. I'm
conscious
aware.
Of it. Yeah.
There is not enough. You said purification in me to
or enough courage to say
enough
yes.
Enough courage to say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Why is there not enough courage? What is the fear?
Could be n number, rejection from the other party or kind of insecurity or various issues.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Shubhra Mataji? First of all, was this exercise useful? Any at all? Too short a time? Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
So in this, for some persons, instead of three times, you may have to do it 30 times. To dig. So, even Socrates would scratch his head.
I personally felt it was useful, Prabhu, and Prabhu was very effective in asking the specific why questions. And one of the things I observed in my situation, that when I initially started the problem, it felt like the problem was way big and it was out there.
Mm.
And when he started questioning why, by the time I came to third why, I realized that, you know, a big part of that was the expectation that I was carrying of my role in that situation that wasn't clear to me at the first why.
Yeah.
And it became more clear by the third why. And then the situation is still very difficult, but at least a sense of influence came that, oh, the first time it felt like it was out of my influence. There is more concerns and less influence. By the time the third why came, I felt like my circle of influence at least has a hope that, okay, this is my area I can work on. And in that sense, it felt like I can address by that, so it bring in more clarity in that sense.
Thank you very much for sharing. Anyone else? Prabhu?
Prabhu, I felt like I don't know how to ask why. Like, I don't know how to create that question.
Are you married?
Yes. Yes, Prabhu.
What is that?
But coming up with those specific questions, that's what Mataji is sharing, I think it was very hard.
Well, hard?
It was a little hard to come up with those questions.
Okay. Oh, hard to ask the why?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting. One on the lady. We'll alternate because here, Mahati is here, someone else. Okay.
When we are asking why to each other, I understood that when we are saying no to Krishna, that means we don't want to come out of the comfort zone or we want things to be easy for us. When Krishna is putting into that situation, I want to say no because I don't want to take risk or hard time.
Okay, very good. Thank you for sharing that. The Prabhu there. All will come to you.
Hare Krishna. We were discussing a work issue and the question was why does it bother us? But somehow Krishna did not come in. I mean, somehow we lost that the original question was saying yes to Krishna, but. So still I'm not able to make that relationship to that work situation to saying yes to Krishna.
That's a great insight. That's a very great insight, that there are certain aspects, perhaps work, where I can't see the connection with Krishna, and so I don't think of him. Okay? One on this side? Anyone else? No? Okay, yeah. The Prabhu is on the chair.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. I think... that's a great observation by the other Prabhu. But we have a choice in the matter. But subliminally, we make different choices sometimes. And then maybe we realize it in discussion forum like this, that we had the choice. He is always the priority. So tolerance is important from my observation. And if we're more tolerant, I think at least over time that experience helps us become very close to the yes part, you know, quite frankly, just from my observation of years of what little I've learned, anyway.
But, so we have a choice, but we didn't make it.
Yeah. We have a choice. We subliminally want to make that choice, the yes, but we make the other choice because our prioritization changes because again, the mind gets distracted, you know, so.
Same thing I can ask differently. Do we all want to say yes to Krishna in any situation? Anyone here who wants to say no to Krishna? No? We want to say, right? If I ask you, do you want to say yes to Krishna in every situation?
No.
Okay, that's an honest one. But most people, yes or? Such a weak yes. Okay. But when we are in that situation, or any situation, it's hard. It's difficult. We generally tend to have some, as Paramarupa said, some conditional yes to it. Yes?
Okay. I want to say something, or just ask something, a clarification on this.
So, is it just yes or no to Krishna, or can we negotiate?
Anything is okay. You can negotiate. You want to hear a joke on negotiation with Krishna? You've heard this. Actually, there are two. So there was a person who wanted to negotiate with Krishna. He was in financial difficulty. So he prayed and he said, "My dear Krishna, you're so rich. You're so rich. Prabhupada, I shouldn't say Prabhupada. You know, we hear that you're very rich. So how much is $1 million for you? It's nothing but as valuable as one penny for you. $1 million is nothing, a penny for you. So can I have that penny, please? And Krishna said, yes, in a moment. So yeah, we can negotiate with Krishna. No problem. We can. It'd be interesting to know what happens from the negotiation, but yes. So the point is, what I was trying to get to is, what are some of the possible reasons that we say no or but? What are some of those? At least from your discussion, something should have come up. Hopefully you recognize that there is something that is holding us back from saying yes. What are some of possible those things that may have come up? Upananda Prabhu in the back?
Instant result.
Huh?
Instant result at that particular point. A solution for the problem.
We want an instantaneous solution.
Yeah.
Okay, and we have an instantaneous solution. Are we ready to take it?
Like if it is available, we are ready to take it, but we won't get every time the instant solution at that particular moment.
So we want some instantaneous result versus being patient.
Patient.
Okay. Upananda Prabhu in the back.
Hare Krishna. In answering this question, I'm meditating on the six limbs of surrender. And I'm like, have formed faith that Krishna will provide everything we lack. So it means that we don't have 100% faith that Krishna will provide everything that we lack. And also, we not having 100% faith that Krishna will give us full protection. That's why we're not surrendering. And also, we're not prepared to give up things that are unfavorable for devotional service. Some aspects in our lives, like attachment to family and to wealth, and we're not prepared to give that up. We should really take to the things that will enhance devotional service. So some attachments also is causing us not to take to full devotional service.
Okay.
And then humility. We have that sense we're looking for ego, praise and all these things inherent nature in most of us. That we feel good when people give us praise and all these things. So then we're not prepared to surrender fully too.
Okay.
And then, to be humble fully.
Okay. Let's make a list.
Then it's full surrender now. So that's full surrender, Atmanivedana. We're not prepared to give up everything that we have. All material
things.
So let's
make a list. We want instantaneous result. Correct? Second was, we don't have 100% faith in Krishna. We are attached to certain things or ideas. We are not fully surrendered. Okay, but at least these three. Anything else you want to add to that list? There's a young man right here.
That mostly people, they want to be independent and they want to solve the problems on their own without being dependent on Krishna.
You should be doing this and I should be sitting there. Very nice, very nice. People have an independent mentality. They want to solve the problems on their own. Okay? See, Mataji.
Expectations from the other person.
Expectations from the other person, including Krishna. Sure. Expectations. Is it wrong to have expectations from Krishna? Who feels it's wrong to have expectations from Krishna? It's wrong to have expectations from Krishna? Okay, when you pray, you expect a response, some reciprocation. Is that wrong?
I think it's wrong.
You think it's wrong? And still we do it. Okay, alright.
I was thinking lack of clarity on what it means to say yes to Krishna.
Yeah. There's, sometimes you're not clear. What does saying yes mean?
Lack of taste to Krishna.
Lack of taste for Krishna. Very nice. Rohini Nandan. Not Rohini Nandan. Raghunandan.
For me, the yes to Krishna but is, why did I say yes?
Explain. No, please explain. I'm very curious to know. Did you say yes?
There are certain situations where you feel like you have to say yes, but then you feel like, why did I say yes to him? And then it becomes a question of like, then what am I attached to?
Mm.
Then those lists that we are talking about comes into play, but my first question is like, yes, but yes to Krishna, but why did I say yes?
Yeah, it's good to ask Socratic questioning. Why did you say yes? Or why did any one of us say yes? Anyone? Anyone else? Shravan?
Tolerance.
Lack of tolerance. Lack of tolerance. To who? Towards Krishna? So what happens when you don't... Okay.
Three times I went in deep and then different reasons came, and behind the reasons it's actually lack of tolerance.
Hmm. Okay. I am not tolerant in my relationship with Krishna or whoever I'm seeing as representing Krishna for me.
One of the points that I am realizing is this, my relationship with hardship and difficulty. And my concept.
My relationship?
With hardships and difficulties. And my conception that it's not, like, I don't want pain or I don't want difficulty. Uh-huh. And I want to get rid of them. And so how I see them is like unwanted and undesirable. And when they come, then I fight against them.
So why is it important to get rid of difficulties?
Because I feel it's a very uncomfortable place to be in.
Okay. And if you're uncomfortable, what is the problem?
My focus goes on the discomfort than Krishna.
Hmm. Okay. Why does your focus go on the discomfort?
I think the starting place, the first thing, because I don't want them. So I want to get rid of that.
Also that our wanting of Krishna may not be as strong. Not in your case, for example.
It's true.
May
for
not
me.
Be as case. Okay, back there, Chaitanya Prabhu.
Because of our experience, we perceive certain things in certain way, and because of the perceptions, it really plays a lot of difference. It may not be the true, but the perception it says, you know, it is not. It's true. It's a difficult situation.
Some Prabhu was saying that we have certain choices. So we make choice at a very, what we call sensual level. Sensual level choices means it is pleasing or not pleasing. If it is pleasing for me versus not pleasing for me. And Krishna says about such choices in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Actually fifth, sorry. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga. So although we are making choices on the basis of pleasing and not pleasing, there's only one outcome. Dukkha. Unpleasant. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate. And it is dukkha because adi antavanta kaunteya. Nateshu ramate Buddha. I usually joke that those who stay away from sense gratification are Buddha. Those who indulge in it are Buddha. Not too different, but it's a little different. Okay, so that's the first level, sensual, what is pleasing or displeasing. Then at another level, we make choices on the basis of whether I like or I don't like. Sometimes it may not be pleasing, but I like him. But my second level of choice is at the mind. I like or I don't like. But for those choices also, Prahlad Maharaj says something. You know that verse or heard ever? yasya priya apriya. Shlokaraj, go ahead. Say it, you know? It's coming. Yasmat priya apriya. I like, I don't like. Samyoga viyoga. These things coming together, coming in contact or doing things that I like, that is called samyoga, because it is priya for me. And apriya, then there is viyoga. I don't like it. And he says, this is a problem. And when one makes choices just simply on the basis of I like or I don't like, then Prahlad Maharaj says, shokagnina dahyamana, that one burns in the fire of lamentation. Because whatever choice we make on that platform, it is lamentable. Something will not touch us in a way that we are happy or pleased. So it's always lamentable. And the symptom of such choice making on the basis of like or don't like is we always lament. Why did I make that choice? I should have, I could have, I must have, I wish. This is the fire of lamentation. Shokagnina dahyamana. Okay. So then there must be some other platform on which to make choices. Because when you say yes, but, it's our expression of some choice we're making. So what's the other, if not to make choice on the basis of pleasure and displeasure, like, don't like, what's the other level to make? Then one, duty. One may say, I make choices on the basis of duty. I may like it, I may not like it, but it's my duty. Now, duty is on the platform of intelligence. Because you're discerning. Well, it doesn't matter whether I like or don't like. And that intelligence, or making choice at that intelligent level, is the first symptom of bhakti, or the early symptoms of bhakti, being dutiful. Because some spiritual intelligence has been awakened. Therefore, duty is given such a high position. The higher than duty naturally is love. And we heard this morning that gratitude is the seed of love. So now, to act on the platform of love is only possible when there is love. So we are on the pathway to loving Krishna. Okay, of course, the mature stage of that love is called prema. And the stages before that is the love is sprouting, it is just awakening. As we go through one phase of bhakti to another phase of bhakti. So this, before I continue on this, this kind of Socratic questioning, if you will, is there in Bhagavatam. Although it doesn't say iti Socratic questionam asti. Nothing like that. It's mostly inferred that way. Okay? So next time don't say I read Bhagavatam, it was not there. In the 11th canto, there is the wonderful story of Avanti Brahmana. Krishna is narrating this to Uddhava. The reason Krishna is narrating this pastime to Uddhava is because Krishna has just mentioned to Uddhava that I'm winding up my pastimes and I'm going to be unmanifest from here on, very soon. So Uddhava is asking Krishna, I want to be constantly thinking of you. What do I do? And Krishna says, you should become a sannyasi. You should renounce this world. And Uddhava's question is, that's very difficult. How do I do that? You know, I feel that I'm very attached. I have great anchors and pegs in the ground. How should I become detached? So Krishna narrates from that the whole section is called the Uddhava Gita on how to become detached from this world. So before he narrates the Avanti Brahmana story, Krishna teaches a very important principle, which we did recently in one of the seminars back in Chicago, so I'm happy to share with you. So I'd like, when you leave this room, I'd like you to remember Socratic questioning, which is a very important or helpful tool with one's own self. Another is to learn a phrase, okay? So next 2.5 days, if I meet you anywhere in Gita Nagari, I will ask you this phrase. And I might ask you when you're having prasadam. I might ask you when you are laughing and touring the forest, and suddenly I might ask you. I might ask you when you're not expecting it. How many of you have Wi-Fi turned on? Please turn it on because I might send you a text to ask you. Okay, this phrase called Loka Tattva Vichakshana. Loka Tattva means to know the nature of this world, the reality of this world. And Vichakshana means the ability to see. The ability to see with the mind's eye, if you will. To understand how this world operates. Because one of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita is that false expectations create anger, disillusionment, disappointment, frustration, etc., etc. So we should have what we say realistic expectations from this world. But we can only have realistic expectation when we know how this world operates. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spends many chapters, although it is transcendental knowledge, he talks about this world. And if you notice, throughout the Bhagavatam, whenever one person meets the great teacher, their first question is not, how do I develop love for God, but their first question is, I want to know how Maya works. I want to know how this world operates. Because unless one becomes loka tattva vichakshana, it's very difficult to move from that position. So, loka tattva vichakshana, LTV, okay, is important to know so that when we are in this world and we are at that point where we have to say yes to Krishna, if we have a sense of what that means, then it makes it easier to avoid the, because we know what the world, how the world operates, what to expect from the world. So later Krishna narrates the Avanti Brahman story, and I'm sure many of you have heard this story, so I'll go through it quickly. I'll remove all the embellishment, but there was one very rich Brahman who, because of his wealth, became very arrogant. And his arrogance made him lose all his relatives and friends because he was arrogant about his money and possessions and position. By the course of the modes of nature and his karmic whatever situation, wealthy one time became abjectly poor. The stock market crashed for the Brahmin. So suddenly he became very poor. And because previously he did not treat his friends and relatives so well, now it was time for him to be on the receiving end. So all the people in the village, his relatives, his friends, they basically discarded him from their circle. The people in the village treated him badly. So he would walk around with a begging bowl, and the boys of the village would urinate in his bowl. They would pelt him with stones. They treated him very, very badly. And he was having the difficulty how to say yes to Krishna in such a situation. That yes, this is the situation I have to live with. So he goes through considering what is the source of his problems. So first he says, the source of my problems is, I forget the exact steps, but first he says, my karma. Right, it's a fairly correct answer. I have to accept that this is my karma. And then he goes to the next layer. Yeah, it may be my karma, yet because it's bothering me, it is something else. And then he goes to the next layer. So like that he goes one layer after another layer till to the point he comes that this is actually my mind. It is my mind who's giving me this picture of this is good, this is bad, this should happen this way and not that way, etc. So it's basically my mind. That's his conclusion. And we hear of Krishna saying that the mind is a friend or an enemy, depending upon how it is cultured towards or away from Krishna. So from our little exercise here, the reasons or few of the reasons we can't say yes to Krishna so easily is because of certain expectations from Krishna. Our faith in Krishna may not be where it could be. Or we expect very quick response from Krishna. We'll take these three. Anyone else? One more. Attachment. Okay? Let's take care of this a little bit. So, any situation, pastime, where Krishna was instantaneously there when a devotee was in difficulty? Raghunandan Prabhu? Were you here? Yeah, who was in trouble? Parikshit Maharaj was in trouble. When?
He was in the womb of his mother Uttara, and Ashwatthama had released the Brahmastra to kill that baby, and Krishna was present in that situation, and like he immediately went in and saved that baby.
Very good, thank you. One more example. Krishna just showed up, Mataji there.
Gajendra.
Yeah, what about him?
So, all the time when he was struggling, you know, thinking he can get rid of the crocodile that was biting his leg, Krishna didn't appear.
Yeah, and someone once wanted instantaneous result. Gajendra fought for 1,000 years.
So, once he let go of that independence and felt that he has to call out for Krishna, then Krishna came on his Garuda Vahana and killed that crocodile.
Okay. Any other example where Krishna came very quickly? They're back there.
Yes, Prahlada Maharaj.
Yeah, he took a while. There's a whole list of things Hiranyakashipu did to Prahlada, and the Lord really didn't manifest per se. Of course, not in the way I'm talking of manifesting, but you get the idea. It took some time. It was not in this. Our Prabhu here, we need to help him. That he wants instantaneous results. I'm picking on you, we get the idea. But if the Lord appeared as if he appeared for Prahlad Maharaj, our Prabhu will have a problem here. He has to be pushed off a cliff, put into hot oil, lances poked. Of course Krishna was there at that point because nothing happened to Prahlad Maharaj, but you get the idea. The instantaneous result was Hiranyakashipu should have died, but it didn't happen. Right.
Hare Krishna, I am thinking of pastime of King Kulashekara, where he tell his army to go and charge because Sita has been kidnapped. He was hearing the pastime, he was involved in the pastime. So then when he goes into the ocean, then Lord Rama appears instantly and says, don't worry, Sita is with me. So that is coming to my mind.
Okay, fair enough. Paramarupa.
I was remembering the pastime of Draupadi's pot.
Ah, very good.
That's the time when Krishna appeared instantaneously when Durvasa Muni was taking bath with his disciples and they didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, one final. Kirti, can we get the mic back, please? Kirti?
Sorry, I was thinking of Ambarish Maharaj.
Okay. As soon as Durvasa Muni plucked a lock of hair and said, let this man die. Okay. All right. Is there any example where Krishna came after a long time? After pleading and pleading and praying, no instantaneous result. See? Any example where Krishna took a long time to show? Well, that was fairly quickly, no? Well, it depends. For her, it was a long time, but I guess. Okay, get Draupadi. Any other example? 6 months. Dhruva, 6 months. Okay, 6 months, a very long time. Because instantaneous was not instantaneous. Agreed. One more.
I don't remember the devotee name. He turned into lizard.
Nriga. King Nriga. Well, not only Krishna did not show up, he turned him into a lizard. Okay.
The killing of Kamsa and releasing Vasudev and Devaki from prison.
Yeah, they were in prison for a very long time. Very long time. Vritrasura. What about him?
And he turned into a demon.
Hmm.
He was a devotee, he was practicing, he was cursed, turned into a demon and he died a gory death.
Okay.
And Krishna never showed up.
Not only didn't show up, but turned him into a demon. Okay. Upananda Prabhu. And then we'll go to the next one, but you get the idea here.
I think there's a devotee in Vrindavan who is still waiting on Krishna.
Lota Baba.
Lota Baba, yes.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Lota Baba is still waiting. So are the residents of Vrindavan. He said he will come back. Not come back yet. Okay. So as far as instantaneous results, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Okay. Another is, what was the other one? Faith in Krishna. Let's hold that one. It's a little deep topic. What was the attachments? Oh, this is a nice one. Okay. We can't say yes to Krishna because of certain attachments. Right? Any situations where Krishna took away someone's attachment quickly? Come on, help me, just instead of one word here and there. Narada Muni, in what instance did...
Narada Muni, he wanted to, in his previous life, when he was son of a maid servant, so he had this desire to go with the Bhakti Vedantas. His mother, he was still attached to his mother and he had that responsibility.
See, if you give such examples, that if someone wants to go with the Bhakti Vedantas, Krishna sent a snake, got the mother out of the way. Be careful. This is why we can't say yes to Krishna so easily. My gosh. Now you see, it's tough. It's tough. Because as soon as you say, I want to say yes, you don't know what he's going to do. Mataji. What about him?
I remember from Lilamrita, while his business is like really flourishing, he was on that platform. Of course, he's on a different platform anyway. But he took away all that and suddenly the business, everything goes off.
I don't like this example. You know why? For some people who don't know this, I recently started a business. That's the inside joke. any other example? It's an interesting example. Speak it in the mic. Pingala the prostitute.
Pingala, yes. Pingala the prostitute.
What about her?
She was attached to her profession for getting material benefits, but like as she could not get, then the detachment came instantaneously.
Very, very interestingly, the detachment came. And her expression, Home Vitatim, Vijitatmana, she says, my mind is, this is the problem, that my mind is not conquered. Therefore, I am thinking, I have all these masters who will fulfill my needs. Very, very nice example. One final and then we'll go. Sudhir.
Prabhu, I forget the name of the devotee, but this is during Ramanuja's pastime where this devotee is looking at his girl, beautiful girlfriend, and Ramanuja just passes by.
Dhanurdas. Okay, there was any other circumstances where a person's attachment stayed for a long time? And Satrupas, the attachment stayed for a long time, it didn't go.
I think I was probably, Bilwa Mangal Thakur I was thinking about.
Yeah, it stayed for a fairly long time, you could say.
Yeah.
Very good. Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Anyone else? Someone who had their attachments for a long time. Sixth canto somewhere.
Prabhu, Sanatan Goswami, I bought his silk shawl.
For a long time? No, I think it was fairly quickly. Raghunandan Prabhu. And then Shubhra Mataji.
Dhritarashtra.
Hmm.
So he was very much attached to his son and wanted his son to be the king. And he never let go of that, and all his sons had to be killed in that battlefield, and he still was holding on to that luxurious lifestyle until Vidura came and gave him the real sauce.
There is this, yeah, he gave him the sauce. But there is a pastime in between after all the sons have been killed. You know, when Bhima comes, you know that story? So Dhritarashtra is sitting on his throne. All the sons have been killed. His kingdom has been taken away.
Nope.
He's completely devastated. But inside he's harboring a lot of anger. But externally he's crying. So when Krishna and Bhima, they walk up to him, Dhritarashtra says, "Oh, my dear Bhima, you're, after I have lost all my sons, all that are left are you, the Pandavas. You're very dear to me. Please come here. I want to give you an embrace." So when Bhima is about to step forward for that embrace, Krishna pulls him back and pushes forward a metal statue that is on the side. And Dhritarashtra immediately embraces the statue. He can't tell the difference in that and crushes it to fine powder with his physical might. So Krishna shows Bhima that inside he is nurturing a lot of venom. So even after that it didn't go. Till Vidura came and gave him the sauce. Alright, attachment. What was the other one in our list? Faith is, okay.
Expectations.
Any example where someone was praying to Krishna with certain expectations and very quickly it got answered? Dhruva Maharaj. It's not instantaneous, but 6 months to see Krishna is as good as instantaneous. Is that all right for you? You'll accept it? Okay, Dhruva Maharaj. Any other? Happened very quickly. Aditi. She drank milk for 12 days. Okay, that's fair enough. Kunti.
So Krishna wanted to leave Hastinapur and Kunti asked him to stay for some more time and he said yes.
Very good. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to leave for Vrindavan and every day he would take permission from Advaita Acharya and they'd say, 2 more days, please stay. Okay. 2 more days, please stay. Like that they made him stay for a few months. Acharya Nishtha?
Chichiketu Maharaj. I think he topped even Dhruva Maharaj. I think in 1 week after he received the mantra, he received darshan.
Very quickly he received darshan. Very good. Does Krishna say anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam that you achieve me very quickly? Yes? Where? 12th chapter. What does he say? You achieve me very quickly. Very good. Tesham aham samuddharta. Krishna says, I am the one who make a person cross the ocean of material existence. And he says, very, very quickly. Tesham, and it's also easy. Sulabha partha. I make it very easy. Okay. Any attachments that stayed for a very long time? Is that what we were asking, right?
Yes.
Some expectations that stayed and stayed and stayed for a long time. Chitraketu, he was expecting the sun. How many wives did he have?
10 million. 10 million.
Say it again.
My goodness, 10 million.
10 million wives. And not a child from that. Expecting, waiting for, and this, one will say, it's just a very simple expectation. I just want to have one child. 10 million wives.
Yudhishthira Maharaj, he wanted the kingdom for a long time.
How many years did it take?
Not sure.
How many years was Yudhishthira Maharaj in the forest?
13 years.
13 years. Of which 1 year was?
You had to be alone and not recognized.
In disguise.
Yeah.
Nobody should be able to recognize them. Not even one of the Pandavas. And that was the time when Duryodhana sent all the spies that he had to comb and scan the entire country to find out where these people. So anyway, you get the idea. Sometimes very quickly, sometimes not so quickly. Some expectations are filled very quickly, some expectations are not filled very quickly. Some attachments are removed quickly, some attachments are not removed quickly. Some attachments we allow to remove quickly and some we don't, etc. So behind all of this, there are many other reasons as well, but one of the reasons is perhaps we don't have a full or a proper or sufficiently proper understanding of who Krishna is and how Krishna operates. Because when we are in any relationship, when we know the other person, then we say we know what to expect from the other person. But if we are in a relationship with someone that we don't know, and we are supposed to say yes to that person, this is difficult. Right? That's the acknowledgement. It's difficult. We know Krishna. Although there is sufficient information. This morning, in fact, Maharaj said that Bhagavatam has the ability to illuminate us completely about Krishna. So the more we get to know of him and how he operates and how his energies around us operate, then saying yes becomes easier. Do you agree or disagree? Agree? So, when we are doing our sadhana every day, when we are performing our services, what we also need to bring in is this desire to know who we are serving. We want to know him. And if you notice carefully, Rupa Goswami gives us the secret for it, right? That our blunt senses cannot fathom Krishna. But as soon as there is a mood of service, then Krishna reveals himself to us. So revealing himself is not just that he has to appear in front of us. Of course, that is his prerogative. He can. But the point is revealing means we get to know him in a much deeper way. And the more we get to know him in a deeper way, the easier it is to say yes. Or our tendency to say no becomes weaker. One of the, we listed out the reasons we say no or say yes but is there are other things we peg, or things that peg us down between our relationship with Krishna. And so naturally, our giving value to, weightage to, importance to something other than that relationship. And it's but in that sense natural because we're conditioned. We've been doing this for a very, very long time. That we haven't said yes to Krishna. Not only do we say yes in principle for our life, but also in day-to-day circumstances to say yes. So first of all, we should know what are we saying yes to. You know, in any circumstance, what are we saying yes to? So a few years ago, we did this accepting Krishna's, that was Maharaj was saying, acceptance and progress. So there was a situation that Maharaj had told someone. It was a very illuminating situation, because when we say, oh, I have to accept Krishna's arrangement, generally we think that we have to accept that situation. It's not true, not necessary. Now, we have to know what we are accepting. So Maharaj gave this example, and it has stayed with me so strongly since then. He said, Haridas Thakur was very quietly, peacefully chanting in his hut. He was chanting Hare Krishna. And a prostitute showed up and said, Haridas, I would like you to fulfill my desires. And Maharaj said, Haridas didn't say, but this is Krishna's arrangement, I have to accept it. It is, what is it that he is accepting? Or what is it that we are saying yes to? And Maharaj explained that in all situations, it's not the circumstance, this person, that thing that we are saying yes to. We're always saying yes to our relationship with Krishna. So I'm saying we as if you don't know, but the lesson for us is that relationship should become the priority. Not that it's not, but you get the idea. For you, I don't know whose life what it is, so I don't mean to be, as if I know. But the point is, we should ask ourselves, or we could ask ourselves, in this situation, am I putting my relationship with Krishna above, or in a more important place, or priority position, than whatever else I have a relationship with? If that is, so this Socratic questioning is a simple tool to find out if in that particular instant, if Krishna is in the relationship with Krishna is in the priority position. And if we get the answer no, that's a fantastic insight. We should not be disappointed that I got the answer, no, Krishna is not important for me right now. It's a very valuable insight. Then we know what to do. If we don't know, then we can ask someone, we can ask someone's help, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra's help, to bring Krishna into that priority position. Then we have this consideration that if Krishna is priority, somehow other things don't become priority. It's not true. Because when Krishna is priority, every situation that we have to deal with, we know how to. Or we have better insight how to. Because our minds work in a very dichotomous way. If I have to say yes to Krishna, then maybe I have to say no to work or family or whatever that's. It's not like that. It is when we say yes to Krishna, we know how to deal with those situations much better. It's our service attitude becomes awakened. If it's not service attitude, then there is some other attitude that makes us interact with that circumstance or person, either it's enjoyment or aversion or whatever it is. Non-service attitude. So saying yes, but is an indication that we have some work to do in our relationship with Krishna. Now, for Krishna to be on the priority, we need to know him. And to know him, we have to feel confident that yes, he is the person and he can instantaneously give us solutions. He can remove our attachments. He can nurture our faith, etc. And that is why we do the Shravanam Kirtanam process. Any questions, comments? Yeah, Raghunandan Prabhu. Any thoughts? Agreements, disagreements? Any yes buts?
My question is,
there is normally a tendency to accept the principles or the knowledge on a theoretical basis.
Correct. That's
and
true.
I am not yet at that state to practice or live my life like that. And I artificially put more stress on myself or pressure on myself to live up to that higher levels or standards. And in that process, I am basically not being true in my relationship to Krishna. See, if I just want to watch a cricket match, oh, I'm a devotee now, I should not watch all those things. But deep inside, I just still nurture that desire to indulge in that activity, and I'm not being true. So given that situation, what are the practical steps I can take, not in this situation, like situations like that, to get out of that in a natural way? Because if I'm just forcing myself, it's unnatural.
Sure. Krishna says, Arjuna, what does repression achieve? 259, right? What does repression achieve unless there is higher taste? So Maharaj makes a statement that if you feel the urge to say yes to something, unless there is an alternative for which you can say a stronger yes, then this alternative until then won't go. So is there something or that relationship with Krishna, can we make it a stronger yes? Is our daily sadhana. That's the only solution. Can we stay a stronger yes to something else? Until then, it is our acceptance of in our inability. Maharaj once told me in some situation that most people, they don't have bad intentions. It's just that it's a matter of time before they have the strength to express their good intentions. Now, just because I cannot say a stronger yes to something else doesn't mean I live on saying yes to the lower things either. So then there is an option. The option is to be able to find someone to whom we can say, I right now am feeling the urge to say yes to something that's lower. I need help. To say that, oh, because I am weak or whatever, and it's okay to do, and that's true, and that's being honest, that's not necessarily honest. It's an honest expression of weakness. But the true honesty is to tell someone else, I need help in this situation. And somehow we need to find that person or persons who can do that for us. Until then, it's going to be tough. For some persons, it is studying a Bhagavatam or talking to a devotee or singing a bhaj, whatever it is. We find what is that thing that gives us energy or inspiration in Krishna consciousness. Does that help? Okay. Any other comment, question? Was this useful? You don't have to say yes. No is okay for me. It doesn't matter.
Yes, but.
Yes, but. There you go.
But thank you for a good class. In Jagai Madai's case now, like, they came with, yeah. In Jagai Madai's case now, they did all, but when they got the mercy of Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, like, they had a complete change of heart.
Yeah.
So, there was no, like, tendencies going through.
Oh, I was going to say a very nice statement. I was telling Yashodanandan this morning. Transformation is at the point where will meets grace. I don't think many of you caught it. Anyway. There used to be a TV program called Will and Grace. But anyway, that's why he chuckled when I first told him. But transformation happens at the point where our will meets grace. Okay? So when grace, Krishna's descending mercy, appears, and our will does not receive it, the transformation doesn't happen.
But when we receive it, transformation happens. And to the degree we receive it, to that degree transformation happens. In the case of Jaga and Madhai, the transformation was very drastic because the grace was very heavy. Lord Nityananda himself there and Lord Chaitanya himself there. At the same time, their acceptance of that is also full. So the point of, I guess, examining for ourselves is how much is my will accepting the grace that is coming. There's a phrase called causeless unwillingness. You can't explain why. Even with so much mercy coming, we can't take it. We can't sometimes ask Socratic questioning also doesn't give the answer. Then we categorize it as causeless unwillingness. Don't know, can't explain. I mean, we can. There's something else going below. But that's what it is. So, how much are we accepting it? I think I'm out of time. Right? Any final burning questions, Sudhir? I have about 35 seconds. So you can speak for 33.
Prabhu, I was just trying to understand from whatever the exercise you did today, because I've said in the past to some devotees giving me the guidance, yes, but it sometimes seems as if I'm not receiving or accepting when I say yes, but. So I was just trying to understand from today's discussion, is it okay to say yes, but? Which for me, the understanding is that we're accepting our limitations or our shortcomings, our conditioning, whatever it is.
To another person, we can say yes, but all we want, that doesn't matter. We're talking of Krishna. We don't say yes but to Krishna. I mean, that is where we want to go. But yes but is not the devotee's ethos. But we say, so it is okay to come to Krishna and say, I am very unfortunate. Sikshashtaka verse number 2. Although I understand that your holy name has all the potencies invested in it. Durdaivam, idrisham, iha janinahu ragaha. Yes, but I have no taste for it. That is all right. That is an honest acknowledgement. But within that acknowledgement is that Krishna, please help me get out of this situation. In that sense, we say yes, because it's there in Sikshashtakam like that. But Sikshashtaka doesn't end with that verse, right? It goes on to the next one. He says how to get out of that situation when we have the proper humility, respect for others, etc. And then he says, na dhanam, na janam, na so. Then he says no to everything else and yes to Krishna. So to come in front of Krishna and say, you know, my dear Krishna, I'd love to say yes, but my unfortunate condition is that I'm not able to accept your grace in this situation. Please help me. Right? Many years ago when we did yes, say yes to Krishna seminars about 15 years ago, one of the seminars that was done actually added two more things to this. That you say yes to Krishna, then you say please to Krishna, and then you say thank you. Yes, please, thank you. So I want to say yes, please help me, and thank you for your grace. Isn't gratitude the seed of love, as we heard today? So yes, please, thank you is what we practice also. It's not just yes, but, hey, I said no, but this is my true situation. No, I want to come out of it. Please help me come out of it. Because we want to be on the other side of it. Because on the other side is immense joy that is described, experienced by others, and they want us to experience it too. Okay. Thank you for your very wonderful patience and participation. Yes, I'd like to continue, but it is lunchtime. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.